house, which is exciting. Since this was over the holiday recently, a lot of people went traveling, so it's exciting that everyone's able to make it back safe and sound. With other announcements, we need to remember that Courtney, as I was talking about traveling, Courtney will be traveling later today, and she will be on a flight and will be back to return later this week about Thursday. Also, we need to remember that Stacy, she will have surgery on Tuesday. Pray that everything will go well. Ladies' Bible class will not be tomorrow, it will be next week, Monday, June 5th. Remember to pick up the bulletin. Here it has the, not only a short sermon, an outline form, but on the back has various other announcements, such as the radio program and the television program as well. Those participating in worship services this morning, song service will be by Brother Tony. We have collected number 598. If you'd like to come in right now, it'll be 598. Opening prayer will be by Brother Aaron. Those participating will be for stable will be by Brother Tim, as well as Brother James. And at the end, before we're dismissed, we're going to be by the closing prayer will be by Brother Dave at the appointed time. We should already have prepared our minds and our hearts as we discuss the Bible. for salvation. That we have now the opportunity to take a hold of that plan, to study that plan, to look at the standards, to look about what it means to be obedient, to be called children of God, that you've given us the ability to hear and believe, given us the opportunity to confess your son's name, to repent and change, live a life devoted unto you, to be baptized and then to truly walk in newness of life, and to have liberties and freedoms that are discussed in the New Testament, to be a part of the New Testament church, which we've been studying about on Sunday morning. So, Father, we are so very thankful for those blessings, those promises that we have already sung about, that if we abide, stay true, we will not fall. True that we are able to stand on the promise. We're thankful for life and the freedom that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the example. We're thankful for the Word. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit that you've given us so that we can be successful. Successful on this earth. You've given us everything to be successful. And we're thankful for that, Lord. Help us not to take that for granted. Help us not to take the Word of God, your Word, for granted. Help us not to take your commandments for granted. Help us to worship for granted. Help us not to take the church for granted. Help us not to take prayer for granted. But hold on to these truths. We're thankful for this congregation that meets here. We're thankful for the wonderful things that continue to happen. We're thankful for the opportunities that are given to us and that will hold on to those opportunities and not take those opportunities for granted. Whether it's maybe doing a Bible class, even in services here and doing that in Bible class. Maybe it's doing Bible class with others. Help us to continue to pray and think about those different methods that are going on, such as the TV programs, radio programs, Lord. Father, we know that if we continue to plant and water, you will give the increase. And we thank you so much for the increase that's been given here in this congregation the last year. Thank you so much for that, Lord. And Father, we are definitely edified with the number of people that are here this morning worshiping you, Father, but more than just in number, Father, more importantly, we pray that we're here in heart to be able to worship Spirit and in truth. So edified by that, Lord. We're thankful for the elders here, the deacons here, for the families represented here, Lord. May we continue to work and to work diligently to continue in the faith and grow spiritually. That as we grow spiritually, Father, that you will bless us and that we'll grow to bear for this one. Father, continue to be with the elders of the congregation here and dealing with a building and purchasing a building, Father. You're answering our prayer, Lord, and we're thankful for that. We're so close to the goal and what we need, Father, and we're thankful for that and continue to ask for your guidance in those situations to come. We still have many days and many months to deal with it, Lord, but we know that you will continue to give us the knowledge and then the elders taking that knowledge and with wisdom making some choices and some decisions. And of course, we continue to be with us as we continue to worship you, Father, your son's name we pray.
From 781, before we take the Lord's Supper, 781.
Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, when the immortal train, angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sing it all.
get you Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. We just sang a wonderful story of love, a love story we like no other. Jesus died for us because he loves us so much. It's hard for us to fathom the love that we have for us, but then he gives our lives for us. Jesus did. Look at Isaiah 53, we'll read verses 3 through 6. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he carried, and he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgression, he was crushed for our iniquity. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. And those words are so poetic, just tell us the love that somebody had to have. He did that for us. So our iniquities, he bore. He took those upon himself. So if we protect the Lord's Supper this morning, which we do every first day of the week, let's help focus our minds and thoughts on the cross. Jesus hanging on the cross, being crucified for us, the agony that he went through for us. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on this bread that works now to the temple of Jesus' body given on the cross for us. We ask that you bless it, Father. Pray that you'll help us to focus our minds and our thoughts. Help us to see Jesus on the cross dying for us and loving us so much. He gave his life for us even while we did not deserve it, Father. Pray that you help us to examine our lives, look at the sacrifice that he made, knowing that our lives should be are only pure because of him, Father, as we're Christians. Hopefully you'll help us, Father, this morning, unite in our thoughts this morning. We think about his sacrifice and the love that he had for us. We ask all these things now in the name of Jesus yourself. Father, likewise, we have a prayer and ask your blessing on this cup, Father. Help the fruit of the vine, which helps us to take the blood that Jesus shed for us, the blood that covers our sins, the blood that he willingly went to the cross for us to give on our behalf. Father, we know
the garden, he prayed, that it only be your will to die. And it was your will, Father. There was no other way that could have been done. And we thank Jesus for his sacrifice, going to the cross for our iniquities and our sins, Father. We ask you to help us focus now on his sacrifice, his love for us. We ask you to take this morning. Help us unite in our thoughts and focus only on him. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Concludes our service of the Lord's Supper this morning. Separately, we have a responsibility and opportunity and command to give back to the Lord as we possibly. So let's bow now. Father, our God, we're so blessed and thankful for all the blessings that you give us each day. We live in a rich country, and the blessings you give us are just more than we need. And thank you so much that we have an opportunity now to give back what we've laid aside, Father, that belongs to you. And thank you for the opportunity that we have to be good stewards of the money that is collected. Pray that you'll help us always use these minds in a scriptural manner that might promote your kingdom. We ask these things now in the name of Jesus. 10 in just a few moments. We'll be over there. Couple announcements I forgot to let Andrew know about. Of course, Kim and the girls are out of town. They're going to be out of town for 2 weeks.
The last week, so they're gone.
Of course, Dan and Mallory up in Indianapolis, and they're gone for this week. We're hoping to be back by 4 this afternoon, but they weren't too sure about that. Anyway, it's good to see you all out today. You're going to have a good crowd. Once in a while, I want to preach a lesson on this. I think what sparked it was a conversation I had with a gentleman called him. He wanted to come and visit with us. I wasn't sure whether he was going to come today or come in the future, but saying, you know, it's a denomination, trying to stay with the Word of God. Yeah, thinking about that. You know, we were mentioning in our Bible study today in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that God is not the author. There's no question that there's a lot of religion. And people have just come to accept that. And I think I know why. We'll talk about that in a moment. But just to give you an idea, Debbie and I were walking last night up down by the riverfront there. We got talking to a couple. And they said, well, we go to a couple of different churches. On Sunday we go to the Catholic Church. Next week we go to the Lutheran Church. Next week we go to the Catholic. Well, I mean, that's jaunty, that's surprising, because of the mindset that a lot of people have. You know, our sermon today is really truth and religion. Is there such a thing? Can truth and religion go together? Obviously, a lot of people think that's just not the case. It's your perception of truth and religion is what they might think. Because look at all the different religious groups. Now, Chuck, are you trying to tell me? You attend. The members there, but what they're following is truth. And you say, well, Chuck, I think they believe that 100%, but you know, everybody believes where they are attending 100%, but they think this whole idea that truth really, there's no such thing as absolute truth. And why they say that is it's kind of like the idea of having a trial today. You try and persuade a jury, or we might try to persuade an audience, of what the truth is. And if you are convincing enough, you'll have some success. So Chuck, if you're convincing enough, you'll change the lives of some people. Some people believe what you believe, Chuck, but that's just their perception of truth. And the way you present it. And then somebody else down the street, another religious group, they'll have some success because of the way they teach it. And since there are some trials that present, quote, truth, and have had some wrongful convictions, that's what they base it upon. Which lawyer is the most convincing to the jury? So it really doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. Truth varies. And so our concept of truth varies, right? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. They think everything is like almost like circumstantial evidence, you know. And so we have a trial today, and I said, well, it's all circumstantial evidence anyways. Well, you know, when it comes to truth, and we're going to be talking about it today, it's not circumstantial evidence if you have, let's say, in a trial today, if you have video of the crime, you have the weapon, you have the prints, you have witnesses, and you have a confession. That's not circumstantial evidence. If they say, guilty, 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 go, well, you know, it could have gone either way. Gone either way? Are you crazy? That was black and white. It was cut and dry. It was like, we saw the man commit the crime. We've got the weapon. We have the fingerprints on there. And we even have him saying, I did it. And we have the motive. So, folks, that's more like what we're dealing with. It's not circumstantial evidence when it comes to the truth we have within the Word of God. Jesus put it this way in a prayer over Luke chapter 10. This is the way he put it. He said in verse 21, I wrote an article on it already. It's going to be in next week's bulletin. He says,
In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. We can actually parallel what Jesus was talking about there with what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to verse 20. He says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. You see, this is why Jesus was back here saying, I thank you that you did not reveal this message, or you kept it hidden from the wise and the prudent, but you revealed them to babes. Was he saying, I'm glad it's hidden from certain people? No, his point was, everybody can understand your truth, Father. Everybody can. That's the point. In John 17:17, when Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them through truth, thy word is truth. I mean, seriously, can we say we have the truth and we're 100% right? That's really what we're talking about today. Because, Chuck, there's a lot of religious groups in this world, and I know that. So how about you? Do we have that confidence that there's just no doubt? There's no doubt. We need to have that, is my point. And we're going to see how we can have that. Over in John 16:13, remember Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you into what? He's going to guide you into all truth again. But can I understand that? Or is that just a matter of perception? When you have your idea of truth and this other group has their concept of truth, really, you know, there's no absolute truth out there. He said, well, no, there really is. Our responsibility, of course, is told to us over 2 Timothy, and here's where some of the rub comes. He tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says in verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Here it is, rightly dividing, and he uses the phrase, the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to put forth that effort. Give you an idea of what we're talking about, how it's absolute and you can know it. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 4:16, he wrote to brethren. Galatians 4:16, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Why didn't they just listen to the message and put a twist on the interpretation to make them feel good? If it's just a matter of the hearer and their perception of it, you know, like a jury, you know, well, I listened to the same evidence that you did to this other juror, and he goes, I think he's innocent. Well, I think he's guilty. Well, I think he's innocent. Well, your perception of it. Well, there is a right and wrong. And Paul says, why have I become your enemy? Because I just simply tell you the truth. You can grasp that as the point. And that's what we're trying to get across. Now, God understood this when he wrote this. You've heard me quote this before. 2 Thessalonians. A number of things I want to bring up today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says in verse 10, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Did you get that? Deception among those who perish. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. A delusion. What is a delusion? Well, it's deceit. It's fraudulent. It's error. God will allow that to be taught if that's what you want. Now, what he says here, and I want to go back to this phrase, that you should believe a lie. He's not saying that these people know it's a lie and they want to believe it. What he's saying is, that you believe the lie is true. I'm going to send a strong delusion that you believe this delusion, that you will think this delusion is the truth. But he's saying, but it's a lie. I different than other religious people in this world? I don't mean our religious brethren. I mean, being religious is not a wrong thing. We know there's such a thing as vain religion. We understand it. I'm a very religious person. I confess to that. I'm religious. But being religious doesn't necessarily mean you're right. But the idea that truth and religion can go together, but we know that there's confusion in the religious realm, and it's all about truth and their perception of it. We have a responsibility of going into the Word and knowing what it says. Truth has been given. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? That's what it comes down to. Now, there can be people who say, well, I don't want to believe that. I do not want to believe there's absolute truth. Well, you can do that. God said you. I'll send a strong delusion if you can believe a lie. And so somebody can come here and say, Chuck, we teach the exact opposite of what you teach, and we believe we're right. Okay? I understand. Well, Chuck, what if they're preaching the sermon over there? What if we're the ones saying... We're right, but we're really wrong. Got a problem. Oh, we got a problem. We're back to the fundamental principle that we can know what truth is. That's what Jesus promised, right? That really wasn't the key verse in this. That really wasn't what this sermon was based upon. But in John chapter 8, verse 32, you can know the truth and truth will set you free. No way. You think about Jesus. We were talking about him going to the cross. How could he do that? Well, he was in heaven, Chuck. He saw the Father. He was with the Father. He went through all of that. He left heaven. I didn't leave heaven. I haven't even been there. Do I have the same kind of confidence that Jesus does that heaven is real? Do you? Do you have that same kind of confidence? That absolute knowledge that you know what is right and what is wrong. That's what I'm talking about today. Because we're going to have visitors come in here from time to time, and we're not going to be able to convince them, and we can't convince ourselves. I don't want you guys just to believe. I want you to know why you believe it. I keep saying that to myself. I better know why I believe what I believe. And we're going to teach on, what have we been doing on Wednesday? Wednesday night we talked about attendance. Morning we talked about worship in our Bible class. We're talking about all these different things, all these, the information that's given us. What is the truth on those subjects? What is the truth? We better get to it. Better get to the bottom of it instead. So, four things. Are there four? There are four. Okay, quickly. Time that we have left. Four things we need to understand where truth does not come from. Okay? Matthew chapter 6. I need to know where it doesn't come from. Because if I base it upon this, then I'm not going to know what the truth is. It's just point number one. It's just wishful thinking. Wishful thinking. And you have that. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, let's back up. He says, but you, in verse, he's talking about prayer in verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do. Here it is. For they think they will be heard for their many words. Where's that coming? Where's that truth coming from? They think they will be heard for their many words. Well, that's just human reason, right? They're not based upon a verse anywhere. Where's the truth on the matter? The truth doesn't come from wishful thinking. That this is the way it's supposed to be. I think this way. We're talking about that in worship this morning. Talking about worship this morning. You talk about instrumental music. Well, I just think God's just going to approve of it. He's going to love this. Man, that's just wishful thinking on your part. It's not going to happen. You want to see wishful thinking? Go to chapter 7. We've read this, but it's in line with what we're talking about here. Matthew chapter 7, he says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now look what he says in verse 28. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? We're okay, Lord. Our perception is, our wishful thinking is that you are going to approve of my life. I'm going to stand before you in judgment day, but is this going to happen? Verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You're not abiding in walking by faith. And faith comes by hearing the word, right? The word of truth. It's not wishful thinking. A lot of religious people do that. There's a lot of religious people who think they have the truth because they just have wishful thinking. This is what's going to happen at the end of time. Here's the way the Lord looks at me right now. Based on what? See, folks, it's all about this. It's all about the truth that's been revealed, not something that we have come up with. The River Ridge Church of Christ, the reason we're here right now and not somewhere else in town, is why? Well, because we have a different perception of truth. Truth is truth. I'm wanting you to have the confidence. Being self-assured. That we can have it right. See, God. So when it comes to biblical truth about what we're supposed to do in all these different areas of our lives, we don't base it upon wishful thinking. Now in Galatians chapter 1, here's another one. Our truth, and it's similar to the first one, I kind of overlap a little bit. But listen to why Paul said what he said in verse 10. Galatians 1 verse 10, he says, or do I now persuade men? If I still pleased men, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's similar to what he told Timothy, right? Preach the word against it in season. There'll come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. But the point is right here. Don't give people what they want to hear. Tell them what they need to hear. And I'm not here to be a man pleaser. Man pleaser. What pleases me? Well, that's the second one. A love for what you want. That doesn't decide what truth is. I really love whatever it is. I really love that, and I like it a lot. Tim was sharing with me a moment ago, I didn't say where it was, and I wouldn't mention it, but he just remembers reading somebody made the statement of some singing that they had, and they said, that's the best it's been in 10 years. Excuse me. What did we talk about this morning? What makes our singing acceptable to God? Well, what have we been doing for the last 10 years? It's been horrible? Okay, they're doing it from the standard of what we like to hear. Now, that's the way singing's supposed to be. Now, that's what I want to hear. That's what I like. And when it comes to our service to the Lord, that's what I want to do. And that's the problem that Timothy had to face. They were not going to endure sound doctrine. They were going to heap up for themselves teachers having itching ears, as he says in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. What's that all about? We want to hear things that we love. And so we're going to change the truth here. So no wonder the religious prophet says, it's too confusing. You think you're right, they think they're right. I understand that. But where do they get their information from? What do they base it upon? We're talking about truth, folks. We're not talking about circumstantial evidence. We're not talking about hearsay. We're talking about a thus saith the Lord, where you can know the truth, where Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them, set them apart, sanctify them through truth, thy word. Your word is truth. That's the difference. If anything, from Galatians chapter 1, don't ever be a man follower. If I died today, driving to the radio program and I die in the car accident, you guys have a funeral? Okay, if you have a funeral for me, and one of you wants to get up and say something, just say this. Well, Dave, there's one thing that Chuck kept preaching over and over, not to be a man follower. Say that, okay? Because that's the point. Because that man follower includes yourself. You understand? That's why Paul says here, if I now persuade men or God, do I seek to please men? Now see what Paul's saying there? If I go to seek to please men, that's not what God wants. But if I go ahead and do it, because that's what I want. See, it isn't just following man, it's following yourself. You need to follow the truth. That's all.
Where would that lead you? Where will truth lead you? I'm afraid to follow that truth. That's why people don't want to study. I have to sit down and study with people. Go to study now. People are afraid of what they might learn. You might find out that they're actually wrong about something. They might find out that which they really love, they're not supposed to. That's not what God wants you to love. And that's something that leads to the confusion that we have today. People love to feel their way to the truth. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Before I got thinking about the wrong source for truth, of establishing what's right or wrong, to me, folks, this one is especially for those of us who are Christians and loving. This can creep into our lives. This can evolve. So in Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they have glory from men. Sure, they say to you, they have the reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Now look at verse 5. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Each one of these 3 points are building off of each other. What's this one? This point has to do with the success of play acting. That's called hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy means to play act. It's easy to convince yourself you have the truth when you're a hypocrite. Well, these people were hypocrites. They were standing on the corners of the street that they may be seen by men. And people eat that up. People are fooled by that. That's our previous point. Don't become a man follower. But here's my point. If you have somebody who's living a life of a hypocrite that's not being consistent with truth, but yet they're influencing people. Give an example of that. We were over there in Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 2. You want to talk about success in hypocrisy. Galatians 2, he said, in verse 11, when Peter had come to Antioch, I was stood into his face because he was to be blamed. Why? Well, he says, before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, hurting those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. You can get other people to play act with you. Why? Because you're so convincing. That's why we call these actors today. You ever watch a movie and get caught up in it and cry sometimes? Wow, they're good. I mean, they can just turn on the waterworks in a heartbeat. It's amazing, you know, and I can remember when this child actor was being interviewed. Well, how did you get emotional like that? And they asked him, they said, well, it was the last day of taping. He was just a young lad. He says, it was the last day of taping, and I just got thinking that I was never going to see my friends anymore. And that's what he wanted to think about that, and that got him into the moment where he could cry. People are good at that. That's why they call it hypocrisy. They're play acting. And you and I, we can go through the motions. And we can have people think we're the most godly people in the world. And they might even want to be like you. And they might even praise you. And they might go up and say, I want to be just like you. And you're going, well, I must be something else because people admire me and they love me and I'm a hypocrite. even fooled yourself.
That's what's happening. And you can be successful at it. And there are people out there who are pretending. They're pretending. And they're being successful. And of course, you lose sight of what truth really is then. That's the thing. Now, I really like this passage over in Mark chapter 1. Because, I really wish people could understand this. From a teaching standpoint, listen to what it says here about Jesus. Verse 21 and 22, it says, "Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught." Just like I would go into a group and you would go in and talk about your faith and stuff. "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." What's that mean? You know, some people seem to think that, well, it's really confidence. Confidence. Not confidence. Teaching with authority means you have the truth. There are a lot of religion. Turn the TV on today. Go to channel 9. There's a lot of people who have confidence. They might even be arrogant. You know, you'll go up to, wow, he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Look at the confidence that he has. This doesn't mean he's right. See, that's what some people do. They say, they'll get in the pulpit and say, "I've been preaching for 40 years. You know, if anybody watched our TV program, I could just see, I could imagine somebody going up to a teacher, "Hey, this guy on the TV said this about this passage." He goes, "Look, that's not what it means. I've been teaching my whole life." "Oh, okay." Well, now we're back to some of our previous points. You're a follower of man. What? But let's talk about him. He's confident. Does that mean he has the truth? It doesn't. If I'm confident in what I'm teaching, it doesn't mean I have the truth. When Jesus taught as one having authority, what does that mean? He had the authority. Now, if you want to teach with authority, have the truth. Remember, where do you get off saying that? It's like a policeman pulls me over, and if I said to him, "Where do you get off pulling me over and getting a ticket?" "I have the authority." Do you understand that? Now, if he pulled me over, "Hey, what's happening? I'm going to get a ticket." You don't have the authority to give me a ticket. You can't do that. Right? And so we understand, if you're going to teach with authority, if somebody's going to get it, I don't care if somebody disagrees with me. But if somebody's going to say I'm wrong, you better tell me why I'm wrong. Just don't tell me I'm wrong. If somebody says, "I've been preaching for 40 years. Well, what? You could quote the whole Bible frontwards and backwards. You could have confidence. But people have turned that into my point. So, I don't have time to go into this, but boy, it sure ties into that first Kings chapter 13. I'm going to do it quickly. Remember, it's been a long time since I preached that here. But first Kings chapter 13, that's where we, remember the prophet that pronounces cursing, and the king said, he wanted him arrested, and the king puts out his hand and it shrivels up, and the man of God, he cries back to the man of God, "Please call out to your God to restore my health," and his hand is restored. And then the king says, "Hey, please come and eat with me." And he said, "No, God told me not to go eat and drink in anybody's home. Good for him." The next thing that we read in that chapter is an older prophet finds out about this, and he goes and finds that prophet. And he finds the prophet, and he says to the prophet, "Why don't you come home and eat with me?" And the prophet says, "No, God told me not to." Like he told the other guy, the king, "No, God told me not to, lest I'll die. I can't do that." And then the prophet says to him, "But God spoke to me, and he told me it's okay." Oh, so he goes. And then he finds out that he broke God's law. You can sit back and, wow, he sounded so convincing. Didn't cut it. I don't care how convincing somebody sounds. You get your Bible open. You pay attention. You listen carefully. You have to keep an open mind. That's kind of what
what I like about Acts 18, 24 through 28. Remember Apollos? It said he was mighty in the Scripture. Mighty in the Scripture. Yet he was wrong about it. But when he was told and taught more perfectly about proper baptism, he listened. That's kind of like you and I. Those first 4 points, this is where PowerPoint comes in. I would say, remember, folks, as time goes on, we as God's people don't want to drift away and start practicing things that are wrong, simply basing truth on those 4 points that we talked about earlier. We need to seek the truth, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, and you will find that God promised that. Why are there so many religious groups today? Because people found what they're looking for. They found what they're looking for. God's also said the strong delusion you believe a lie. You want to go over there? Hey, you found it. It's not the truth, but you found what you were looking for. Every one of us here that are children of God, God be thanked, we found what we were looking for. I found what I was looking for. I was in a denomination. But no, I just wanted the truth. Now, it was a big pill to swallow to find out that I was deceived and that he wasn't following the truth. You know what? I wanted that. You wanted that. That's why you became a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to become one. But don't become one because I sound confident in what I'm saying. That's not why you do it. Or it sounds good. This is the truth. Seek it and you'll find it. Our time is gone, but I love the promise of our God. Debbie and I were talking about this just yesterday. You know what? Do you think this is the only people in the area here that are looking for the truth? I'm convinced that there are people out there that just want the truth. You got to find it. You got to teach it. You got to make it available. Let them know there is such thing as absolute truth. Because of the confusion that's out there, people think it doesn't really matter where you go. To say one church is as good as another is saying that truth doesn't matter or that truth isn't absolute. You know, for somebody to say, well, we go here 1 week and we go here the other week, I didn't want to bring up to them. I didn't want to bring up. You do know the founder of this one went to the door of this religious group and pounded on the door all the things they disagreed with that and started the new group? I didn't want to bring that up. And I didn't want to bring up the fact that not only did he disagree, but he also brought a lot of their false doctrine with them. I didn't want to bring that up either. But see, what's their? Oh, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to them. Because in the religious realm, everybody has their concept of truth. I'm telling you, folks, if that's the case, you don't even have to believe in God. You don't even need to buy it. Because maybe your concept of truth is there is nothing. You're covered. You don't even have it. Don't study. Don't believe in God. Don't follow him. And then you're just as close to the truth as I am. And we know that's not the way it is. If you have any questions, bring it to our attention. But brethren, hold on to what you have. Know why you believe. Build up your faith. Make it strong so that you can withstand the wiles of the devil, the temptation to lean on truth that really isn't truth. Stay with the word, and you'll be fine. Standing on the promise. I love that song. Stand on it. I'm not standing on the sand. I'm standing on the rock. No matter what comes, we can withstand it. If you want to become a Christian, you can become one today. We'll sit down. We'll look over the passages. If your child of God has gone away, we can even come back. The point is, stay strong. Be faithful till death, as was mentioned in the prayer. If you're subject anyway, let it be known. If we stand together and sing.
Who will follow Jesus, standing for the bride, holding up his banner in the thickest light, listening for his order, ready to obey? Who will follow Jesus, serving him today? Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply? I'm on the Lord's side, Master. Bye.
everything else.